This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, welcome to an abbreviated version of One Bills Live here on a... What the heck day is it this week? Is it
Tuesday.
Like, Tuesday already?
It's Tuesday.
My gosh, I had to stop and think for a second. Abbreviated version of the show here, One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. As we know, the draft now 2 days away, and we'll jump right into stuff since our time with you is limited today. It's been cut in half for good reason, you know.
Absolutely.
Sabres have a new coach, Lindy Ruff, addressing the gathered media.
Should we chime in on that, or should we just let that go?
Well, I think enough has been said, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You like it, though, right?
Yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I'm
good with it.
I'm a season ticket holder. There's some buzz for you.
Sure.
Yeah. Respected coach, no question about it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's give it a shot. I'm renewed. Let's go.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Quite literally with your tickets.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. I think we can leave it there. I think we're good.
Good stuff. Congratulations to the organization,
yeah,
and Lindy and all that. I hope, you know, obviously best wishes to everybody. That's going to be awesome.
Get over the hump, man. Get back to the postseason.
I am absolutely excited for him. It's going to be fun.
We have NFL news to discuss with you right off the rip, and it is draft-related, as one would expect, because the San Francisco 49ers had their pre-draft press conference. So, you know, all these teams are making their GMs available in the week leading up to the draft, and so everybody in the media is trying to read between the tea leaves here, or read the tea leaves, read between the lines. I combined two expressions into one there unintentionally. And 49ers general manager John Lynch was naturally asked about wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, who is going to be playing on his fifth-year option if he's still on San Francisco's roster this fall. And he said, quote, "Our wish is that he is here for the rest of his career. We are working through that," end quote. Then he was asked whether they've received calls on the availability of Ayuk, and he said, quote, "Sure, we receive calls for a lot of players," end quote. And then he was asked another follow-up about what, you know, Ayuk hasn't been to the facility. He's kind of boycotted off-season workouts, which, by the way, are voluntary.
Yeah.
Because he is at a contract.
That's a big
negotiation.
Burger.
He's in a contract negotiation with the Niners. He has chosen not to go to the off-season conditioning program. And Lynch said, "We're having good talks, and we'll leave it at that," end quote. So, Steve Tasker, I ask you, is Brandon Ayuk a San Francisco 49er at the end of draft weekend?
No. I'll bet you he moves, even just despite all of that. I'll bet you it might be a smokescreen. It might be having – they might want to keep it down. They want to tamp it down a little bit and not let it out. I think there's – not let it out. I think there's too many teams that know that they're going to struggle to get one of these top guys. They want a guy that's proven. They got the cap to spend it – to spend on it. And they'll make a move. And they'll sign Ayuk to a long – or they'll sign Ayuk in San Francisco and trade him or something of that nature.
Or the team that he's being traded to will have a contract already agreed upon and
that's
in place,
right,
with his agent.
That's right. Now, I don't know if you can do all of that and not have it spilled out in Adam Schefter's timeline or whoever's, you know. There's no question there's teams that are
sniffing around
and have, you know, have the cap space. Now, you think of the – look at the teams on the list that have the most cap space. And the simple – it's like the Patriots, the Commanders, the Titans, the Jaguars, the Chargers. I mean, you can take your pick. None of those except for – well, the Commanders, but none of those are NFC teams. Patriots, Titans, Jags, Chargers, the Colts at number 8 on that list. There's a lot of AFC teams that are looking for a guy. And, you know – everybody wants a dude, you know, and I could be that for a lot of teams. So they might jump through some hoops. Some of these teams that don't believe they're going to get a guy that's better than Ayuk, they have the cap to spend, they can spread it out however they want, they'll make a bold move for him. And San Francisco, they're neck deep in talent.
Well, they are, and they've already paid a lot of their high-profile players. And
just, yeah, if you're wondering, San Francisco is 25th in cap space.
Right. And if you trade him this weekend, that $14.1 million salary cap hit would go on to next year. It would be your cap savings. You're saving $14 million on the cap by moving him off the roster via trade. So that's not nothing.
Yeah, it's one year.
You could sign your whole draft class with that.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But there's no guarantee any of those draftees are going to be this guy.
There is not. And so they're in kind of the similar boat as the Bengals. Like, we got all the way to the Super Bowl. Do we want to run it back again? You know, with Ayuk one more year, kind of like the Bengals have committed to. They're saying, look, we're not trading Higgins. We're going to run it back one more year with a healthy Joe Burrow and see if we can get back there. And then after that, we wave goodbye to T. Higgins.
Right.
So I wonder where the Niners come down on this, or if someone bowls them over with a deal, they say, yeah, let's do it.
One of those teams I talked about, you know, New England. New England's not getting out of the number three pick. No.
No.
Right. So, but
because you can look at this two ways, Steve. You can look at it from the Niners' perspective, which is like, we're really close last year. Let's try to run after it one more year with Ayuk. But
absolutely.
On the other hand, you can also say this is the deepest receiver class in years. In years. And if we move Ayuk off the roster, we'll get a first-round pick at the very least, if not this year, for the future. And we can draft another receiver who may turn out to be every bit as good as Brandon Ayuk. Now, is it a risk? Yeah. But with a receiver draft this deep, I think you can find your way to rationalizing moving him off your roster, too.
Right. Now, what do you give up to get Ayuk? It's got to be a little bit of a steep price. What do you get? What are you thinking? A second? Second and third?
Might be a low one.
How do you know it's a low one? A next year's one, maybe?
He's 26 years old.
A next year's one?
And he was a first-round pick himself.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe this year's, maybe this year, too? A two this year?
Now, maybe it is only a two because you are taking on the salary burden. So maybe there's that.
Yeah.
That would reduce the price? I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But I think he's going to be an intriguing name over the course of the weekend, and maybe not night one.
Right.
But you get to night two, and a couple of those teams that were looking for a receiver are standing out in the cold with nobody.
Well,
they might, you know what I mean?
I mean,
they might be like, we didn't get the guy we wanted, and we have a predicament here. Yeah. We need somebody. It's time to pay up.
Think about it, though. If you got him to a team like, say, Indianapolis, they're picking like 15th. Let me see. Indianapolis is picking
15th.
They're not going to get one of the top three. Maybe not even get Brian Thomas Jr.
They're not terribly hard up for a receiver. They have Michael Pittman. They just drafted Josh Downs last year. And there's a third guy they got there in their top three that isn't terrible. So the kid they drafted in the third round, Alec Pierce, a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
so that's their top three.
You're looking at teams, and I'm thinking I'm leaning towards AFC East team or AFC teams here. You know, what would you say to like a? Well, let me just check
what
their
if
cap.
I told
let me just
you.
Kept their. Let me just keep, check their cap situation here. A team like your Pittsburgh Steelers. They only have like they'd have to move some money around. They only have they're close. They're $12 million
they're not doing that.
Under. But a team like
they're going to draft one if they want one.
They're right, but they're at 20.
No, I know.
They're at 20.
I'm very curious to see if they're while everybody's zigging and zagging their way through the draft, maybe to jockey for position. What team just says the hell with the draft? Give me the guy I know that can play.
That's right.
I'll pay the money. And I realize there's not as much cap space in the league now as there was the beginning of March. But I wonder if some team gets pressed into that corner to say, we got to do this, matter how much it costs.
I'll say this. It would be a team like, you know, you could see a team like the Patriots doing it, but they're not going to give the number three pick overall for Brandon Ayuk. There's just no way.
No.
But.
Got a high pick in round two.
Yeah. You can give a two for him. And San Francisco then all of a sudden is picking And they've got, you know, obviously New England's got all kinds of cap room. So New England goes, they're picking three, and then they drop down to, and then, I'm sorry, not New England.
31, and San Francisco. Two picks at the bottom of round one, top of round two.
San Francisco could get 31, and then, yeah, like you said.
They have 31, and then they'd get New England's at
what,
35?
They'd get New England's 34.
34.
34.
Yeah, it's possible. We have to take a break here, but when we come back, more talk around the NFL and our topic of discussion today. It's a poll. Check it out at One Bills Live during the break here and weigh in. It's an interesting choice. What's more likely scenario? We'll get into the details next here on One Bills Live. Stay tuned. All right, back here on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Your topic of discussion today involves a poll, ladies and germs. It's draft-related, of course. And we're asking you, what is a more likely scenario for the Bills during the 2024 NFL draft? Either A, they'll draft two wide receivers with their in the first 2 days, or B, they'll draft a first-round defensive player. Two wide receivers in the first 2 days of the draft, which for now would mean their first two picks, or draft a first-round defensive player. And look at this.
Wow.
The results are almost dead even.
What is
50.5% says two wideouts in the first 2 days.
I don't know that either one of them.
49.5%.
Yeah. I'm with most of these. I don't think either one of these is going to happen, but I think it's more likely, just by a hair, that they're going to take two wideouts.
Much like the poll is reflecting.
Exactly like the poll. I think, because I don't think either of these guys, I don't think they'll take two wide receivers at the top.
They've drafted
but they
back-to-back
might.
Back positions before.
They might.
With and their first two picks.
And this is a deep draft at that spot. I don't think there's a defensive player on the board at 28 that's going to be better than a wide receiver prospect at 28. That's my gut.
Oh, that's what your gut is telling you?
That's my gut. So I'm saying, I'm thinking the poll. Just by that much, I think it's more likely they take two wideouts rather than a defensive player first pick.
It is supposed to be an offensive draft in the first round. People are predicting that it will break the record. 19 is the most number of offensive players taken in the first round of any NFL draft, and they are expecting that number to get shattered this year.
What year was that? That
I do not know.
I can't remember
year.
Either.
Somebody said it,
and I lost that
but,
information.
It's looking like this year's class will shatter that mark. And now, you know, you're hearing reports and murmurs and stuff that now it's sounding more and more likely that six quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. So it's not the four that we've heard about the whole time, you know, which is Drake May and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and J.D. McCarthy. They're throwing Bo Nix and Michael Penix in the first round as well.
Right.
And it's under the guise of you have too many teams that need quarterbacks and you don't have enough of them. And that's why there's six are going to go in the first round. And if that happens, that's great for the Bills. It's great for the Bills because it's one more spot occupied, you know, two. I'm pretty convinced there were going to be five. There could be six. Six is great because they're all going to go before pick 28.
And most of the AFC teams that need a quarterback have kind of got one on, you know, they can't, like New England's going to take one. That's fine. Chargers, no. Tennessee, and they got Will Levis. They're not taking one. The Jets, no. Denver, yes. There's two. So all the NFC teams may be jumping up in there. You know, Chicago, Washington. Arizona's going to take one of the guys we want. They want a wide receiver. They're going to get somebody for Kyler Murray. The Giants, what do you think the Giants are going to do? Because there's a lot of talk about them getting up and actually getting a quarterback that's not a, you know,
depends what the price is.
A cup of vanilla sugar, you know, vanilla.
Depends what the price is. Monty Ossenfort, the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, is on record as saying, I am not making a deal until I know what's on the board. So he wants to ensure that three quarterbacks go, which arguably could enhance his position because, or his asking price, I should say, because if you have a top tier of quarterbacks on your board and there's only four, and then there's a drop off to the next tier, and you're within striking distance to pick four, and you know you got a lot of other teams trying to call Monty Austin Ford as well, suddenly Monty Austin Ford is in the catbird seat. And he can demand practically whatever he wants.
It'd be almost
or get
better,
a little greedy.
It would even be better for Arizona if only one or two QBs were taken.
Well, yes.
But yes, Arizona, that is the spot in the draft where you think, man, they...
It's a major pivot point.
It's a major spot because the first spot where you think, well, those guys don't need a quarterback.
Okay, so now let me add this to the equation. We heard Brandon Bean last week say that they have more players with first-round grades this year than they did last year. Didn't give us a number. 49ers GM John Lynch did provide a number. He said the 49ers have 22 players on their draft board with first-round grades. He, too, said that they have more this year than they did last year. So I think it's safe to us, safe for us to assume, Steve, that from the most ardent grading team to the easiest grading team on player grades in the entire league, we're probably looking at somewhere between 16 and 24
right.
players with first-round grades.
Sure.
So does that make you feel any better about what the Bills could be within striking distance of at 28?
No.
Doesn't.
No.
Not at all.
No.
Doesn't move the needle for
no,
Steve.
No, it doesn't move the needle. Okay. There's too many other teams we don't know about, and the Niners are behind the Bills.
Chiefs.
When you're in one of those spots where you're picking late in the draft, you're trying to reach and trying to extend those first round grades to reach you, you know. You want to be at least at the end of it. You know there's going to be at least one or two, maybe even almost a handful of players that you have first round grades on that are going to get close to you. You know, because there're going to be other teams that don't see those players the way you do. They'll let those guys drop to you. And some of the fringe first rounders on your list may kind of start to reach you and get closer to you. But not if you have 20 first rounders, like maybe the Bills have 20 first rounders, they're not going to get one of those first rounders probably to drop all the way to 28 because there're too many teams that will see things the way they do. At least at a certain point. They're not going to miss by 10 spots, although
so it's going to be harder to move up from there.
Yeah.
Because there's only 22 players with first-round grades, according to John Lynch.
But unless one of those teams from 20 to 27 only had 16 first-round grades.
Well, then let me pose this again. Do you think 32 teams have six quarterbacks with first-round grades?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But six quarterbacks are going to go in the first 22 picks.
I don't know. Six quarterbacks Woo-wee. First 22 picks. I'll say this. I'm very high on one of the guys that a lot of people think is a second or third round quarterback, and I think he's much better than that. So you can say what you want. That's the spectrum of opinion that you're going to have to live with. Six quarterbacks? No.
That's what people are saying.
I'll just say no.
That's the rumbling.
In my best ungambler
too many
persona.
Quarterback needy teams, not enough quarterbacks.
Come on, man. No. I don't think the six quarterbacks will go. I'm taking the under.
Okay.
I'm taking the under. That's just because when you get down to that list, let's just look real quick here.
Well, you start taking a look at the list.
Here they are. And it's not pretty. You got Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Mike Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt. No. No.
Bo Nix could sneak into the first round.
Come on, man.
Spencer Rattler, no. Third round pick, fourth round pick, somewhere around there, and everybody else, too.
Michael Pratt, Jordan Travis, Joe Milton, Sam Hartman, Devin Leary, that's a UK kid. And listen, not forget, most of those guys, I'll just read down the list. There's one guy, Drake May, 6'4". Everybody else, 6'2", 6'2", 6'2", 6', 6'2", 6'1". And then Joe Milton, 6'5", from Tennessee, whom he's an athlete.
Yes, he is.
That guy can go. And that guy may be the one who's the flyer that somebody takes.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are gone, and they'll take him because of his traits. That guy is – I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson because he's way bigger and heavier than Lamar. And he didn't run a 4.3. He runs like a 4.7 or something like that. But that guy, yeah.
Got to take a break here. More when we return, including your phone calls at 803-0550. What scenario is more likely for the Bills during the 2024 NFL Draft? Draft two receivers with their first two picks or draft a first-round defensive player? You let us know next here on One Bills Live. Stay with us. You tell us which draft scenario is more likely for the Bills, drafting two wide receivers with their first two picks or drafting a first-round defensive player. 803-0550, the number to get on board. Let's go right to the phones. And leading us off today is Ryan in Toronto. What's up, Ryan?
Chris, Chief, I called last week regarding defensive player for the first round pick. On your poll, you guys are saying that it's 50-50. To be honest, if you do draft a wide receiver in the first round, the 20th pick, I don't think that receiver is going to be a plug-and-play receiver. But there's more likely... If you get a defensive player, he'll be more of a plug-and-play versus a receiver. I just want to hear your thoughts.
So you're thinking more likely defensive player will get on the field before the receiver? That's your belief, picking at 28?
I think so.
Okay.
But the 28th pick for receiver, I don't think it's going to be able to be on the field right away. There's more chance of the defensive player to be on the field versus the receiver, unless they move up.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good question to ask. I would think, because if you get one of the guys that we're talking about sitting here talking about like a
one of the top,
if you get a Brian, if you get a Brian Thomas Jr., I think he's on the field. I think A.D. Mitchell would get on the field. Maybe Xavier Legette. I don't know. He may be a question mark because of his lack of his lack of history as a long term college.
Work.
You know, he doesn't have a body of work, so don't know for sure about him. And then you're right. Once you get past that, maybe they don't like line up on day one and go. Maybe if they get like a guy like Ladd McConkey, if they're going to do this philosophical change where they got Khalil Shakir and McConkey on the field at the same time, and they're going to go first down, first down, first down, and then depend on red zone offense all year. Okay, but you're right. Unless it's one of those guys. It will be hard for those guys to get on the field. It will be hard.
It's got
to
be a top five guy.
Yeah, I think so.
I think to ensure it. But even then, I still think you can argue that the hole at receiver, knowing the top two are off the roster from last year's team.
Somebody's got to line up.
I think it still offers more opportunity for the receiver that's drafted at 28. Because right now, at defensive end, let's just say it's a defensive end. If it's a defensive end, you've got Von Miller, Kingsley Jonathan, A.J. Epinesa, and Greg Rousseau, and Casey Tuhill coming over from Washington. I know they do a rotation, but that's five guys right there. And if you don't get one of the top three pass rushers, you know, Dallas Turner or Jared Verse, you know, you don't get one of those top guys, sure, he might get 10 snaps a game and quote-unquote, get on the field because they play a rotational system.
Right.
But he's not carrying – he's not the main course at pass rusher.
Right.
And defensive tackle, same thing.
I would say,
Hold on. You got Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, and then you signed Austin Johnson, and you got the other kid, Deshaun Williams, I believe.
That's right.
Who's the other backup defensive tackle. You're four deep there. I mean, maybe Johnny Newton beats out one of those guys, but again, now you're talking about a rotation. I think the opportunity is greater at the receiver position on this roster than it is on defensive line, based on what they've assembled.
Yeah, and,
I'm not even considering the talent you're able to acquire. I'm talking strictly opportunity here in Buffalo.
Yeah, unless they're going to take a safety, maybe he gets on the field right away, or maybe. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think they're going to take a safety that high.
I'd be surprised.
So,
I mean, Cooper DeJean is a corner who's viewed by a lot of teams as a safety. So,
because you're right. We're talking about an offensive – you're talking about a wide receiver. The vacancy at wide receiver at the top, Steph Diggs, Gabe Davis, Gonzo.
Yeah.
They're out the door. So somebody's got to line up at the two spot. Even if you put Curtis Samuel
in the one hole.
In the one hole, you still got to find somebody. And if you put Samuel at the two, you got to find a one.
Yeah.
And somebody's got to line up out there. So you don't have you don't have anybody proven at all. And Brownie keeps saying it. I didn't realize he's right. There's only one wideout on the roster who's caught a pass in a game from the quarterback. Only one.
From last year.
So, Shakir. All this, I think this is, you throw all these guys up and see who lands on their feet.
It's like pickup sticks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think the premise is a bad thought, Ryan, from a macro perspective, like you said.
Yeah.
But from a micro Bills perspective, I think a receiver at 28, if you know, you get one of the top five, even six, it's going to get on the field. These draft gurus are talking about receivers as late as the third round being probably a 1-2 or a 3 in an NFL team pecking order.
Like right away.
Right out of the chute.
So I think the Bills are going to plug this guy in at wideout. Now, you can say how good he's going to be, whether he gets plugged in or not. That's another story. But there's just nobody else to play. Now they've signed some guys. You know, Mac Hollins is in the room. Terrell Shavers, Justin Shorter, and those are all guys of a certain type. They're big dudes that play wide out, but they've got a lot to prove to get on the field here with Buffalo. And you'd like to think if they're good enough, Sean McDermott's going to get him, and I think too. Best guy plays, no matter where he came from or who he is. Best guy plays. That's just the culture they foster here. So they'll all get a shot at it. But, man, oh, man, you talk about expectations. It's going to be on that draft pick if they take him at 27 mm-hmm. or 28.
Let's go to Steve in North Buffalo next. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Just to kind of answer your question again, offense versus defense, I think if they stay at 28, which, you know, we know with Dean that might not happen, if they stay at 28, I really do see a scenario where they end up going defense simply because, you know, Bean has shown us that he's a really big, best player available guy. And at that point, we might see a run on quarterback and a run on receiver. And there might be that defensive player that maybe we don't think of, you know, safety, the end as a need, but they just are going to say, oh, he's so high up on our board, we can't not take him. And like you guys were saying, having depth in the receiver this class going up to the third round, I could see them, you know, taking best player available defense at round one and then being able to then double dip at two and four rounds, you know, getting two quality guys. I just think the way that Bean drafts in the years past, they obviously probably want receiver, but they're not going to let that supersede if someone, you know, a big-time player on their board falls to them. And I'll hang up and let you guys listen. Thanks.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. And you're right. You can't anticipate where there's going to be a run on quarterbacks, run on offensive tackles, run on wide receivers. But a lot of those three positions are going to be at the top of this draft. And if you want one of those positions, 28 is not optimal. It's a real question mark. I don't know. If you think about it, I wouldn't feel comfortable unless we were inside 20. Then you think, okay, we'll probably get a shot at one of them.
Yeah.
Right?
The interesting part – point that Steve brings up, though, is if it's going to be an offensive-heavy first round, yes, the quarterbacks and maybe all those offensive tackles, which is another position you're not in a dire need of,
right,
may push the receiver talent down to you. But I think it's a foregone conclusion. Three of those receivers are going in round in the top 10. So with that in mind, is it plausible to think that it's more likely the best of the best on the defensive side of the ball are there for you at 28 rather than one of the top five or six receivers? I think it is more likely because everybody's taking offense.
Yeah.
I mean, Atlanta might take a pass rusher at 8. After that, somebody's probably taken Byron Murphy between 10 and 15, the defensive tackle from Texas. And then maybe a corner or two, Quinyon Mitchell, maybe Terrion Arnold. So you're talking maybe four defensive players off the board, maybe five total by the time you get to the Bills. If the Bills can get the sixth best defensive player in the draft or the sixth best receiver in the draft, what do you think they're doing?
Yeah, maybe. Here's the thing, though. You're talking about setting an unbelievable record. Let's just say it goes close to the record. And say they do. They get 20 offensive players off the board in the first round. That means all the way to 32, not 28. Hmm. So you're going to have maximum, even if the even if 9, 29, 30, 31, 32 are all offensive players, you're still at 15. That gives you, you know, that's 12 guys.
I mean, the Bills are obviously going to do whatever their board says. But as you hear Brandon say all the time, if it's close, we got two guys and it's close, we lean towards neat.
Sure. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Think about it. If there's 20, and say all 20 of them are gone before the Bills, that means there's still seven guys, top defensive players that are waiting from 21 through 27 that you got to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's intriguing.
Oh, my gosh. It's making my head hurt.
Let's take a break so Steve can massage his temples. And we'll be back with one more segment here on One Bills Live. Stay with us. All right, what's a more likely scenario for the Bills during the 2024 NFL Draft? Two wide receivers in the first 2 days or a defensive player in round one? We go to the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. And the Obi-Quan says, I'll be stunned if a team with a defensive-minded head coach would double up on wide receiver with their first two picks. Stranger things have happened. Andrew says, in my mock draft, I have the Bills picking Jackson Powers Johnson, but if Pittsburgh decides to take him, then I would change my approach, draft a defensive player. Would really like them to get another linebacker, with Milano being a question mark for when he can return as a full participant. Yeah, but I don't think you got to do that in the first round. I'll be surprised if a linebacker is taken in round one. That isn't an edge rusher.
That's right. And there's a big – this is a draft also where it might be the first one for a long time that – doesn't have a running back in the first round.
Yeah,
last year was one, and that's it. So it's a strange draft in a lot of ways. I guess we got room for one more draft question before the draft actually happens. Maybe the question should be, what's the last guy available at wide receiver that you'd take at 28 before trading out?
Write that one down while I read the next tweet, Steve.
I will never remember it.
From David, 51% of Bills fans on X are delusional. The only way the Bills pick two wide receivers in the first three rounds is if they acquire a third round pick, maybe trade pick 28 for a pick in the 40s and a third. That is an option, and I think if the cupboard is bare on their value board, by the time it's getting closer to their pick at 28, they might look to move out. And I wouldn't have a problem with that because I think the receiver draft is deep enough where you can get a quality player high round two, and you may be able to double up and get another round three.
Let's double up. Double up.
That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow as we sit 2 days away from the draft.